Yeah, so it's right. This is a very recent study. It just came out last week. You are the first people in the world that you're going to see the results. I have two questions for you before we start. The first one is, raise your hand if you have spent more than 10% of your time thinking about AI. Okay, all right, good. Second question, take a look at this picture. Your best guess. Did a machine make it or did a human make it? How many think that a machine made it? How many think that a human made it? I think the finding is that it's confusing, right? That's why the guy is sitting like that. We don't know. Actually, this is a human. It's a Paul Klee, it's an artist from the 19th century. But it's confusing nowadays, right? So we're going to share some results from a study that we did, and just last week we ended the study, with big kind of CMOs and marketers, and so the state of AI and Gen AI. And I want to start with some definitions, just so you know, just so we have the same starting point. So when we're talking about AI, we're going to be talking about anything that has to do with like a computer, software making some decisions that require human intelligence, right? So learning, problem solving, predictions, things like that. And generative AI is something that is a subset of that. At least that's how we're defining this, which is more about creating content, right? Like copy or blog post or you know images, right? So AI is having a moment. This is from back in April. I was giving a presentation in Miami, and at that point, this was exploding. This is from Google Trends, and ChatGPT was driving a lot of that. And then this was last week. And the enthusiasm has gone down a little bit, right? And part of that has to do with the fact that ChatGPT usage has also gone down a bit. But wait, the new ChatGPT is coming, right? So it's going to be great as well. So I think we're at this point that one enthusiasm is kind of reaching a plateau, and the new kind of expectation is just around the corner about what GPT-5 will be doing. And it's going to be multi-modal, text and video and images, and it's going to have a little bit of memory so that it would kind of retain some of the things that you teach it and all that. I guess this is a good point though for all of us to take a step back and think about AI. And there's a number of debates out there, and I'm going to pick five of them. I asked basically over 100 companies what they think about that. And I hope that this is going to be useful perspective for all of us in terms of the trends of the market. Now, two of these debates have to do with AI and the world at large. Is AI going to kill us all? Or is it going to be a good thing? Right? Is AI a shiny object? Or is it going to be the biggest disruption that we will see in our lifetime? Is AI going to, kind of when it comes to my company, right, and how we deploy AI, are we moving too fast? Or are we moving too slow? Do we know where to focus? What specific use cases will extract the most value? And should we be doing more insourcing or outsourcing? These are five questions that in every meeting that I have with the M&A members, these are the top five questions that come up. So all the artwork that you see, by the way, is from generative AI, as you can imagine. So this is the Terminator kind of effect, right? So the first debate is this a good thing or a bad thing? Are we optimistic or pessimistic? And every new technology has this thing, right? Cars have the same thing, electricity has the same thing. So I'm going to use a use case. This is from the MIT Tech Review podcast. And it's just talking about one of these use cases where you can use AI to analyze voice. Voice is incredibly rich source of data. There's thousands of things in our voice, but we can't even hear them. So if you are an optimist, to say, this is amazing. I'm going to take AI, I'm going to use it to analyze the voice, and someone created an app that you can actually leave a voicemail, and the AI will tell you if you have Alzheimer's or throat cancer. Isn't that unbelievable? Crazy. Super good application. And then on the other side, you have the pessimistic view, where someone says yes, but there's also the software that says that I'm giving an interview for a job, and I may lose my job because the AI says, this guy is not very good, right? So optimistic, pessimistic, two views on the same thing. And a lot of the voices that we hear out there right now are pessimistic. Stuart Russell is one of the biggest voices. You see UC Berkeley, Stanford, and he gave a presentation that basically said, it's not going to be good if we succeed. If we create AI that is as human intelligence, it's not going to be good. And this is another person that is very, very kind of famous. He's one of my favorite authors, Yuval Harari, who wrote Sapiens and, you know, 21 Lessons for 21st Century. Philosopher, futurist, historian, is not very optimistic about AI. And I'm going to use 2 minutes just to kind of unpack what he's thinking, and then I'm going to jump into the research. So what he's thinking is that there's going to be three battles. There's going to be a battle for attention, and you can see this. Maybe you saw it last year. This is the Pentagon. This is a fake bomb. This is a fake Bloomberg. And this is a fake post. It's a deep fake. It got millions of views. It's a story. People have gone to war for a story, so now with Gen AI, we can create those stories at scale. So there's going to be a battle for attention. And then there's going to be a battle for jobs. That's the other big argument out there. So the argument is that the robots are coming to get our jobs. And first they're going to come for the repetitive jobs, and then they're going to come for these jobs. According to the National Bureau of Economic Research, Gen AI will threaten, you know, our jobs. So that's the second argument that people are making. And the third one is that there's going to be a battle for meaning. And the battle for meaning, this is a great book, if you can find it and read it. It's a creativity code, and it speaks about all the innovation and art that is happening right now using AI. And it's basically saying, imagine a world where everything, all the art, everything is created by a non-human being. How would that feel for us as humans? It's going to feel strange, right? These are three important arguments that have some validity. But let's go back to our study. We asked marketers over 100 companies, and what we see is a huge, overwhelming sense of optimism. Yes, we see that there's going to be some problem potential, we have to figure those out, and you see that the optimism is first for us personally. Now, all of you who raise your hand and say, I'm spending more than 10% of my time, why are you doing this? Because he says, this is an opportunity. I'm going to figure this thing out, and I'm going to make it work for me. That's what these people are saying. And my company is going to do well. I don't know about my country and the world, but we're going to do fine. So that's one. So the verdict here, the conclusion is that, yes, there is some doom and gloom, but marketers don't agree with that. They feel optimistic. They see this as an opportunity. Right? So we keep the word opportunity first. Now, shiny object or big disruption? Again, great artwork from Stable Diffusion here for historic. And a lot of the noise in the news right now, all of them talk about exponential growth. Right? This is a projection from Bloomberg. The real Bloomberg, not the other one that I showed you. It says that it's going to be $1.3 trillion in 9 years, all the spend on AI. And we asked that question as well. I wish I could go back, but I can use it. And we asked that question, and we said to marketers, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that we're going to have some slow, linear kind of growth? Do you think that we're going to have a little bit of a growth and then stable? Do you think that it's going to be like S curve, where it's going to be exponential in the next 5 years? Or do you think that it's going to be S curve or exponential? And sure enough, what the majority said, about 60%, is that they expect a big acceleration. We have a dot here. The expectation is this from the majority of marketers. And in fact, they think and they say that it's already happening. 50% say that it's happening, or it's going to happen in the next year, 12 months. It's not something that I can procrastinate and think for like forever. I have to start thinking right now, right? So it's happening, it's real. Now, where is that leading? This is an important slide. I was a little surprised by this. We asked them, do you think it's going to be another shiny object? Do you think that it has some potential, but not hugely disruptive? Do you think that it's going to be as big as the internet? Bigger? The biggest ever, like fire, like electricity, that big, right? Now you see that, you know, the majority feels there's going to be another internet, So it's big, right? And we're heading down that specific path. So shiny object versus historic change, marketers expect big disruption. It's not going to be big on fire, they don't think that this is going to be the case, but it's going to be pretty big. So, two words so far. The first one is opportunity. The second one is big acceleration now in disruption. Let's go for the third one. Are we moving too fast or too slow? Now, Stable Diffusion didn't quite get the clock here, but, you know, we tried. So, a lot of this debate comes from what we're seeing also in the news for countries. And I used to live in the United States, I'm Greek, but I've seen all the news about, is it going to be the United States, or is it going to be China? And then that kind of comes down to the companies. Are we moving fast enough as well to support our countries? This is what things people are thinking. This is what CMOs are thinking. They want to be fast followers. They don't want to be, most people don't want to be first movers. And not people don't want to be completely on the other side. Now, if you were to put a curve on top of that, it's a classic diffusion curve, right? You have early adopters, you have the majority, and you have everybody else. And that's what we see in this case as well. Most companies, 50%, are doing some testing and learning right now. And in the end, they're concerned that we're moving too slow. We're concerned that we're not moving fast enough. So 3 points right now. It's a big opportunity, huge disruption and acceleration, but we're not moving fast enough. So you see the story is building, right? We should be having more urgency. So the verdict here is that we're moving too slow. We are worried about our pace of adoption. And now we have two more. One is the area of focus. Where are we focusing? Do we know where to focus? Now this is from a study that we did earlier in the year. And this is not for Gen AI, it's for AI in general. AI is not a new thing, right? We've been using it for a while. Even though we didn't call it exactly that, but we've been using a lot of like algorithms. So if you think about the classic marketing kind of use cases, we do strategy planning, then we start kind of creating assets, then we do activation, personalization, then we measure, and then we have also some customer support kind of initiatives. This shows that activation and personalization is the area where most marketers are focusing and have been focusing they've been using AI as a better DCO. Dynamic range optimization is rules-based. Now you have AI, and it can do a lot more, right? And we at the FMA did four studies this year alone, and we're going to do more with Kroger, with GM, with Mondee.com, with ADT, and the results were amazing. I'm not going to go through all this table. You can see the numbers here. They range from there was one that was zero. We just realized that it was a learning because there wasn't created differentiation. But when you have created differentiation, it ranges from 68% lift to 259% lift. Crazy. So AI using personalization, we're building the business case for that. Very, very strong results. When it comes to generative AI, I have a bunch of use cases here. I'm going to share the deck. The three that run to the top are content creation, that is used for creative optimization, and then you have customer support as well, which is all the LLMs and all the chatbots and all those things. So these are three use cases that are very, very clear that most marketers are doing testing and learning right now. And there's a lot more, right? But there's clarity in terms of where to focus. And at the end of the day, the focus is how do you align what you do with your business goals? And this is a result from CDOs, Chief Digital Officers. And what they're saying is that this is their number one focus. They're either trying to do it very well, or at least they're doing it modernly right now, but they're focusing on really kind of not just doing AI for AI's sake, but doing it to drive business goals. So the number four here is, yes, we do have clear focus in terms of our priorities. And that brings us to the last one, which is, what happens? Can we, now that we have generative AI that creates everything, do we need our partners, or can we just do everything by ourselves? And I'm not a creative, I wish I were. So I tried that. I've been playing with my these tools. I spend a lot of time. So I gave a play with, let me show you an example. I gave a prompt to a series of prompts to one of the image generation or video generation, actually. And I said, imagine a great highlight campaign. And imagine that you're in the 60s and the 70s. And imagine a good looking couple, kind of a man and a woman, kind of coming out of the water, like a spy movie, like a James Bond thing, right? Blah, blah, blah. So I said that, and he gave me this. And you can see he got a lot of things right. I mean, this feels like Greece. Hats and dresses feel like 60s. Maybe, I don't know if both would be very good with the dresses, but it's like, anyway, directionally, I said, okay, maybe it's fine, but I wouldn't use it to advertise in a minute, to say that, right? So I think the overall kind of conclusion here, and supported by the research, is that at least in the next 12 months, we're going to need to rely more on our partners. And what we're seeing here is that either for content agency or AI solutions or data in MarTech, there's an expectation that because we have acceleration, we have to rely more. And in fact, and I wasn't expecting that, we're going to see more outsourcing. Either same as today or more outsourcing. Because again, we need to rely on someone who knows and at least kind of can help us navigate what's happening. So we're not ready for insourcing yet. Maybe in the future, marketers will outsource more in the short term. So let me kind of quickly summarize the five things that we said. There's five debates. Are we all going to die, or is it going to be a great world? And marketers feel that we're optimistic about Gen AI. We're going to make it, we're going to use it in great ways. Is it a shiny object, or is it a historic change? It's not historic, but it's going to be super disruptive, and it's happening right now. Are we moving too fast, or are we moving too slow? We're moving too slow. We have to accelerate. Do we know where to focus? We do know where to focus, and we have clear priorities, and I showed you the use cases. Are we going to insource or outsource? We're going to outsource more, at least in the short term. And with that, Qwak is thinking, I want to kind of thank you for your attention. For those of you who didn't raise their hands before in terms of spending 10 or 15% of your time thinking about AI, hopefully that is a little bit of kind of motivation. And I like this quote that says that, you know, when it comes to like jobs, we're not going to lose our jobs to AI, we're going to lose the jobs to someone using AI, right? So go play, have fun.
Bueno, gracias, Vas.